my fucking go.
You're listening to Bread and Circuses.
It was like the mob media, for one, is the entire world populated. Like, everybody's on Twitter. Fucking the UK is on Twitter. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
unfortunately.
With Caleb Salvatore.
Well, they can't. They can't go to the comedy shows because there's a two-drink minimum, and you can't mix the Percocet you've been stealing from work with liquor.
And Nick Kohler.
There'd literally be people in the fucking 80s that didn't know that nutting in a girl would make her pregnant.
Oh, no one's asked that question. What did those families do to provoke Alex Jones like that?
You know what'll solve all of these racial police protests? A Pepsi.
What the fuck is up, friends? Welcome to Bread and Circuses. It's me. I'm here, your boy. You're half the show, Caleb Salvatore.
The other half of the show, Nicholas Kohler. What's up, guys?
It's Bread and Circuses after dark. It's super fucking late. Nick's got to be up in like 4 hours here.
Yeah, I'm flying out to Philly tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to see them play the Cowboys. That'll be wild.
Yes, sir.
That's going to be fun.
Did that with a little strategy there. I was like, man, if I'm going to go see an Eagles game, I'm going to go see like a conference game. So.
Oh, yeah. Divisional rivalry. Absolutely. That's the fucking way to go. Don't go see them play like the Vikings or some shit. Like
yeah, man. Go. Have you ever been to an NFL game before?
Yeah, I went to... when I was a kid, I think I was in like fourth or fifth grade. I went to Patriots at Minnesota because it was like a 7.5 hour drive. So
that seems like where everybody from Nebraska goes. They just go see it in the Minnesota game.
Or Kansas City.
City, which Kansas City is way closer than Minnesota. Like,
yeah, I think it kind of just depends. They're both like doable drives, you know, like those are the only ones that are like, you know.
Minnesota's like what, like an 8 hour drive or something?
Yeah, it's about eight and a half with stops. It's a little bit closer than Denver.
Denver's like Chicago. 9.5 or something.
Yeah, Chicago's about 9.5 too. So it's like, it's not a terror. I've had worse drives than Minnesota. Denver's a rough drive, bro.
Well, like, then you got to go all the way out through western Nebraska, and that sucks.
Miserable.
Eastern Colorado sucks too.
Yeah. Well, me and David Terrell Green just got back from a show in Wichita a couple nights ago. And that, you want to talk about a rough fucking drive, bro.
You think so? I mean, driving it at nighttime, it kind of sucks. But during the daytime, driving through Kansas isn't that bad. There's at least like hills and stuff. Like,
we were mainly on the interstate, so it was like there wasn't really much. I don't know. See, I like my thing is like I've always been like I'm not a huge fan of the road. But when I get to travel with my friends for comedy, it's really fun. Because it's like everyone I've ever traveled with, we've never had the radio go. You know what I mean? Like, it's been conversation no matter how long the drive is both ways. And that's the really cool thing is like you travel with your friends. It's dope. You don't have to fucking like the conversation just flows naturally.
That's what I really like about taking trains. Like, it's not so much out in the Midwest, but like over in the East Coast, man, like taking trains is like a really relaxing and cheap way to like travel between cities.
Never been on one.
Yeah, I took trains from, you know, between all the cities I traveled to up there. And yeah, it was super chill, man. You got a pretty comfortable seat. You just ride for a few hours and then bang, you're in fucking New York City. You know what I mean?
So it's like the opposite of flights, which are the uncomfortable, horrible way for humans to travel.
Flying is fucking awful.
Unless
man.
You got like, first class.
Yeah, like I don't know. Like airports suck. You know what I mean? But going to the train station is chill, man. It's just going through train station. You usually just get onto the train and everything. So, I don't know. It's kind of cool being on a train station too, you know, like being outside where all the trains are and everything. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of like an antiqueness about it, you know.
The old school feel. I dig it. I want to go on one. I've just never been able to. I've never been on the East Coast for an extended period of time.
I've heard in Nebraska you can do those like vacation train rides that'll like go out to like Colorado and stuff and go out through like the real cool area. Like, because taking a train ride through the mountains is like awesome, like going through the tunnels and, you know, just being in the mountains is super cool.
Yeah, it's gotta be more relaxing than flights. I mean, you hit fucking mild turbulence on an airplane and it's like hell.
And you just get like 6 hours of white noise. Like,
yeah.
I remember the train ride was super quiet. You know what I mean? Like you're just inside the cabin and you just chilling. You're not dealing with like all that recycled air and everything in the plane.
I'll never be able to understand how people fall asleep on a plane. That's like, I don't get that, dude. It's so uncomfortable. You're so close to complete strangers. It's everything against our nature, right? Like if you go back to like the caveman days or even before that, like you were not taught to sleep among humans, other humans that you didn't know. Like that goes everything against your nature because that person could potentially kill you. Like even if you think about it, like even like hotels and apartments are kind of like against our nature.
Yeah, really, they are.
Like, to sleep in that close of proximity, to
hearing the people upstairs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. I do a pretty good job of the apartments I live in of kind of getting to know my neighbors just like a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like my neighbors aren't all complete strangers, but.
See, of the four neighbors on our floor, obviously we're one of them. I only have any type of relationship with one of them. It's the guy next to us, and I don't know his name, and he doesn't know my name, but we're good friends.
Good neighbors.
Good neighbors. Yeah. I mean, we cordial hellos, ask how our day's going. We'll occasionally talk about like the Nebraska game or whatever. And that's that. We go about our day. There's no pressure. There's no expectation. No one's
like hiring a hooker.
Yeah, exactly. My prostitute neighbor. Well, that's the episode title. But no, I mean, there's no expectation. No one's expecting him to be the overly cheesy, neighbor that's like overly friendly and
answering the door. Was standing outside the door in just a bathrobe with a newspaper in his hand. Yeah, what's up, neighbor?
Yeah. Don't bake me cookies. Just fucking cordial hello. Have a good day. You too, man. Hey, did you catch the game? Yeah. How about you? Well, we'll get better soon. Yeah, that kind of talk. I'm cool with that. That's all I want from my neighbors.
It's most Nebraska small talk I've ever heard.
The football game? What the fuck else are we going to talk about?
Oh, the team will get better soon. Yeah, that's like the last small talk of like the last 5 years.
10 years. Well, nobody thought they'd get better under Riley, but, speaking of neighbors, we've talked about the Nextdoor app on here before, right?
Yeah.
About how it's just an absolute like disaster.
It's a lot of really dumb opinions on it.
Yeah. And it's just like people like getting way too engaged with shit in their neighborhood. Like, I think there was a coyote last night. And then I created a fake account on Nextdoor. And I've done this a few times with fake accounts. Like the one I did before this, I named my account George Zimmerman. And I said, who wants to, I saw some kids looking through cars last night. Who wants to start a neighborhood watch?
Jesus
and this guy
Christ.
Was like, there's no way in hell. He's like, look, I get that you're trying to help, but there's no way in hell I'm going to start a neighborhood watch with a guy named George Zimmerman. The optics just aren't good.
The optics.
So I created another account last week. And I said, these past 2 days, I've had the police come and inform me of a plot by my ex-wife and her husband to have me killed. And everyone bought it. Everyone took the bait. And they all thought they were all
going
on. That's
just crazy enough to be true.
Yeah, like it's crazy, but it's not so crazy it's unbelievable. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like everyone in my neighborhood thought that there was this like assassination plot going on and a shootout could break out at any time. And this woman was like, there were like some people that were like calling me saying it was bullshit. And this woman goes, you guys need to be nicer to this poor man. He's clearly in fear for his safety and he's just he's desperate and looking for help.
Very clearly. Yeah. He's scared, man. He's peeking out his window. Like
I was terrified.
Yeah.
Well, I said, The state patrol gave me a concealed carry permit and told me to use take any action I deem necessary to stop anything I consider to be a threat in its tracks.
A police officer would never tell anybody that. No. That's like the exact opposite of what they would tell somebody.
Anything you consider a threat, just do what you got to do, man. Like, you have the right.
That's like what they tell you not to do in those situations.
Any action I deem necessary. And there's one guy who's like, well, I'm familiar with the state patrol and they would never tell you that.
Well, he's right, you know. I'd believe that he was familiar with the state patrol with that opinion.
Yeah. Like, I had another old lady, she comments and she's like, well, my grandson's on the state patrol, so I'm gonna ask him tomorrow.
What if her grandson was like, yeah, we totally told that guy.
Oh, I totally fuck with her. Yeah. Like if like my grandma was on next door, like up in everyone's business. Absolutely. Yeah. I'd be like, oh yeah. Yeah. That's real. Like,
I feel like if somebody's a state trooper though, they probably have like very little sense of humor for that kind of stuff. Like they'd probably just be like, but no, like yeah, not even an explanation.
Yeah. Dude, that's the total state. We were just talking about that today. A comedy about how state troopers are just like the least sense of humor. You know what I mean?
I mean, you kind of got to be like that to be like a legit law enforcement officer. You kind of got to be pretty straight laced, like no, doesn't laugh at anything type, you know.
But I've been pulled over by cops that are like city cops that are cool. You know what I mean? Like they'll converse with you and stuff. And we
know personally plenty of cops, like Omaha, but you know, OPD is different than the state. Like state troopers are like different, you know what I mean? They're a lot more selective with state troopers than they are like just city police.
And that's the thing is state troopers, I mean, OPD, a lot of the time they're handing out like traffic tickets and stuff like that. But like state troopers, I think part of the reason they're more like straight laced and serious is, I mean, those guys are the ones looking for like human traffickers, like big drug trafficking, terrorists, stuff like that. So it's a little bit more serious of a job. Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I think you're 100% right. Like, and not only that, but like being a state trooper is a pretty good job. What I've heard from law enforcement, like a lot of cities say being like a city cop sucks, but then you talk to like the people that are like the state troopers in that state and like, yeah, they get really, you know, they get paid well and then go live off in the country or something depending on where they're stationed at and everything. And I don't know, like that seems like a way better of a gig to me than being like an OPD officer and like running the risk of getting stabbed by a heroin junkie every day. You know what I mean?
I wonder which job's more like likely to get shot at, state troopers or city cops?
That's an interesting question, actually. I'd be curious to look that up. Which job is more
because I mean, like city cops, you're dealing with like small time drug dealers and gang members and shit. But like state troopers, I mean, you're dealing with sometimes legitimate drug traffickers, human traffickers, God knows what else. So I mean, it's that would just be interesting. Like what I know that like being a cop, actually, when you like compare it to like construction jobs and stuff, it's not as bad in terms of like on the job deaths, but.
Yeah, but police officers do have to deal with like a lot of BS, man. Like, I mean, our buddy Tony has talked about, you know, he almost got stabbed in a domestic dispute case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think that's always one of the things that like sucks about like the bad officers is like, you know, for every bad officer, I think there's three good ones.
But there's probably honestly 10 good ones.
You're probably right. I'm probably underestimated. But like the real thing that just sucks is like that the bad officers like just literally fuddle up everything. And it's really hard to like, you know,
I think the problem is they're discouraged from policing themselves.
Yeah.
Because it's the thin blue line thing. It's the same mentality as a gang that you're going to lie to cover up for a fellow cop. It's that kind of, I mean, it's like the scene in have you seen the Boondock Saints, the opening scene where the priest says, you know, we must all fear evil men, but what we must fear even worse is the indifference of good men. And that's a very like that's the issue right there, is it's the people that, you know, there's abuse going on. you know there's bad stuff going on, but you don't do anything to stop it, or you even lie to help cover it up, and now you're complicit in that stuff.
Yeah, like I've always said that, like, I think that's one of the good things the military tends to do is, like, yeah, you'll hear about scumbags every once in a while when it makes national news. But, like, I've seen it, man. The military does a pretty good job at putting the scumbags away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think the best example of that is there was a guy. And honestly, this probably was kind of a shitty example of it, too, because the guy got in trouble with a statutory rape charge in a state. Mm-hmm. You know what
statutory,
I mean?
That's where you have, like, sex with a girl that's under.
Yeah, the dude was I think 18 or 19. Yeah, he's probably 19 at that point, but you know, his girlfriend was in high school under the age of 18, and he went back to go see her on leave, and the parents filed statutory rape charges, and he went to federal prison for it.
Oops.
Yeah, and that's the fastest I've ever seen anybody get kicked out of the military too, I'll tell you that. That's just like one of those things where it's just like that was something where it kind of sucked, you know what I mean? You're like, that guy's probably life shouldn't have been ruined for that.
But yeah, like, you know, I mean, you got to use more common sense, but again, you're asking a 19-year-old to use common sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and like a 16, 17-year-old teenage girl, like they're both teenagers, right? Still, you know,
they're
what I mean?
Kids.
And, yeah, they're kids.
And that's my thing, man, is I wish that those that like the problem is there's no good way to go about it. Right. There's no blanket statement that's going to fix everything for an issue like that. Mm-hmm. I wish that we could at least use nuance with stuff like that. Like, if you're going to send this 19-year-old guy to jail for having sex with his 17-year-old girlfriend, you know, when they were a year separated in high school and she turns 18 next month, if you're going to send him to jail, at least have levels to the thing. Well, he's not up there with the 45-year-old that diddled his 5-year-old niece.
Well, I think some countries actually have that written in the law where there's like it, you know, it's written in the law. If there's like an age difference of less than like 3 years or less than 4 years or like 3 years or less, you know what I mean? Like, then it's like not considered statutory rape, which is like, you know, 3 years difference that, you know, that's like a at the most where, you know what I mean? Like, where it could be considered like an adult quote unquote with a minor that's like 18 and 15. And even, you know, 18 and 15 is like,
I wouldn't be comfortable with 18 and 15. I don't know, man.
I don't think I'd put somebody in jail for the rest of their offender list for 18 and 15, man.
So I don't consider an 18-year-old that sleeps with a 15-year-old. I wouldn't consider that guy to be an irredeemable child molester.
I mean, at the end of the day, I've heard that under some circumstances that some certain sex offenders, based on the crime that they did, will go off the sex offender list after like a really long time.
Yeah, like if you peed outside while you were drunk.
It's got to be like 25 years for you to like not have any other incident of it to like be removed from it.
Which sucks, because I used to play basketball with a guy that was a sex offender, because he wasn't a child molester, wasn't a rapist, anything like that. He went out to a bar with his buddies. He got drunk, walked into the alley and took a piss out in the open. Cops saw him doing it, arrested him, took him to jail. They put him on the registry, and it was like 25 years. I'm not saying that you should just be able to whip your dick out and piss anywhere you want, but to put that guy on the same registry with no context
with people that don't. Well, I know you on sex offender lists, you can look up and see what people did.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see the charge they got charged with.
Yeah. But still, I mean, that's still like a job.
The fact that you're on the sex offender list is like for that, you know what I mean? Like, that's something where I'd see like my neighbor is that and I'd laugh and be like, God damn, they put that guy on the sex offender list for that. Like,
right now,
even worse, it would only say indecent exposure.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that dude pissed out in public or if
he's like a random flasher.
Yeah. If he whipped his nuts out in front of on a bus with a bunch of people, you know, other
Antonio
people
Brown
there.
It.
Yeah. Is that Antonio Brown? Did he do that?
Well, and that's the thing, is because it's like I don't think that there should be no punishment for pissing in public, but it shouldn't be a sex offender registry. Now,
if
he were to go whip
consider that like vandalism or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now, if he were to go out and like do that at noon on a Sunday while kids were playing in the park. Yeah, then I could see the art right in front of him. Yeah, then go ahead, put him on the list. But it's everything needs nuance, and we just don't have enough of that with anything.
But you know what sucks is that guy you knew probably didn't have the money to afford a lawyer to take that to court and not and get it like pushed down to like a misdemeanor, like vandalism charge or some shit. You know what I mean? Like a lawyer could actually do. But that's just so expensive. You know, he probably took like a plea deal or something with the police. You know what I mean? They're like, if you don't take the plea deal, we're going to put you in jail for fucking 8 to 10 years.
You think they like sex offenders in the joint? Yeah, what do you think's going to happen to you?
That's literally the kind of shit that prosecutors will do on people in those like court settings like that, man. Like,
oh, yeah, dude.
It's easy money for them. It's easy. Dude, you think like how good does it make a county prosecutor look when he's got, you know, X number of sex offender cases closed on the book, you know?
Oh, yeah, because we're humans and we're so competitive with everything.
It's hard to look at, you know, like, oh, I have X number of sex offenders I put in jail and not be like, yeah, that guy's doing good. Oh, that guy's a good job, man. He's justice right. is served. Like,
yeah, you know. No, when you look at raw numbers, this guy put X amount of sex offenders away. I mean, yeah, you're like, look at this guy. Look, he's doing his job. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched the DAP videos?
The DAP videos.
Dads Against Predators.
No, I know. I have heard of plenty of, and I always think this is cool when the dads go out and like, fuck the predators up and stuff, and then they get off. Like,
well, they go on their YouTube channel and they do like, it's like the lowest budget Chris Hansen thing you could imagine, right? So they go out and they'll basically like they'll pose as these kids and the 14, 13 year old girl, a boy, whatever, and they're on all the apps. They're on Grindr. They're on Tinder. Yes. They're on Whisper. They go on Whisper and they get a bunch of them, which honestly, the short amount of time we spent fucking with that app, that doesn't surprise me at all. That there's pedophiles on there. Doesn't surprise me
even a little bit. No.
No. And like they'll go meet guys off that app and like they'll get them to talk sexual to what they think is kids and they'll go link up with them. But instead of just doing the Chris Hansen thing where they sit down in like a private house and interview him, they're inside like a Target and he'll just go, excuse me, everybody, this guy's here to meet a 12-year-old girl for sex. And the guy like takes off. Every now and then one of them will swing on him and they'll just beat the fuck out of him on camera. Like
the dad, they'll beat the DAP guy up or
guys will beat the pedophiles up. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy,
they got one man. Of them got shot a couple weeks ago.
Jeez.
Yeah, they showed up. It was at a Target, and the guy smacked the phone out of the DAP guy's hand, and so they punched him in the face, and he pulled a gun out and shot one of them in the leg, and then they got out and ran away. Like, one of them's like an ex-Army veteran, and they
goddamn.
Yeah, they do. It's intense shit, man. Me and Monty Scott wanted to start that up. We wanted to start doing comedians
started
catching predators.
Started an Omaha cap.
Yeah, comedians against predators. See, I thought comedians catching predators, but CCP, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't want to
probably not something you want to have as a channel name on YouTube. It'll give everybody the wrong idea.
Don't want to be associated with the Chinese communists.
Omaha CCP.
I would get the wrong followers on a page like that.
Yeah, they'd probably get mad at you for catching child predators. Yeah, I know. They'd be like, it's love is love, man. Yeah,
love is love. You need to respect cultural differences. It's not a predator. It's called a MAP, a minor attracted person. Okay? That's the most disgusting thing is the MAPs.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that try to say that that's not like a thing that's relevant. And I'm like, I mean, you know, it kind of is. Like, you know, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have said that people saying trans rights was like even relevant at all. Right. In fact, actually, that one kind of pretty smart left wing guy on YouTube, I forget his name. Sam Harris? No, not Sam Harris. It's called like something points or something. I don't remember the guy's name, but he's you know, he's pretty intelligent left wing dude. But
is it
he always
opposing viewpoints. Is that his name?
It's something like that. I forget it. I know I've mentioned him before on the show, but like one of the things that always irritates me about what he says is he always tries to underplay the amount that the blue hair extremists on the left, like the trans right extremists and everything, like have influence on like the left wing in general and kind of in the world in general. You know what I mean? Like, he always underplays that. And I'm like, even if it is just a few blue haired teenagers, they're still very, very persuasive as to how the world is working.
Absolutely. Like, well, and we've talked about it. It's the squeaky wheel that makes the loudest noise. Right. So, I mean, it's like if you say a joke on Twitter and a group of 20 people finds it, and they're offended by it, and they all call your job and complain. Your job's like, holy shit, 20 people just called and complained about this guy. Like, I got to fire him. This is a problem. Mm-hmm. But they don't realize those are the only 20 people on the face of the earth that were actually that upset.
You know, as somebody who's like, you know, I'm getting my degree right now in human resources, man. And this is like a huge thing in this field right now.
I don't envy you at all.
Yeah. You know, I kind of went into it thinking like, when I went into it and back in 20, even like 16, I mean, it wasn't as crazy as it is now. Like, it was a lot different. It looked like looking outside in, but I mean, anymore now, man, like CEOs will be saying that dealing with their HR department with this just gender stuff is like the biggest headache that they have to deal with. I believe it.
Exact thing. Yeah.
Well, so you know what too is I 100% don't believe that even like a small percentage of Americans actually go like believe that shit. Like,
no,
like there's no such thing as gender. Gender is a social construct.
They've
been
bullied into silence. Well,
so have you ever heard of this thing called the Ash conformity experiment? It's this really famous psychological experiment that they conducted in 1951 that psychologists did. Mm-hmm. And basically what they did was they had a room full of five people, right? Mm-hmm. And they had four of them were paid actors or, you know, like actors. And only one of them was like the experimented person, right? Mm-hmm. And they would show them signs up on like a piece of paper in this panel and be like, you know, it would be like, there's on one side, there's like a line that's a certain length. And then on the other side, there's three lines that, you know, one of them is obviously the same line size as the other one, right? Unless the first one. And they'll tell the panel like, hey, please tell us which line is the same line is the one on the left. Right. So, and then like, everybody who was the paid actor was paid to pick the wrong one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so like they found, you know, like in 75% of the people that they did this with after a little bit, they started just going along with what the other actors were saying. Like they would start saying that the wrong line was the right line. And they would, you would see that they were super confused by it. Like it was, you know, it'd be like obvious enough that like, you know, you'd be like, what? No. But then like, it would be the one that was like second closest to it too. So they'd be like, oh, I thought I was maybe just like seeing it wrong or something. Or maybe, maybe, you know, I was like doing like looking at it wrong. They'd be like looking at it with one eye and stuff. But yeah, 75% of people, man. Jesus. And you know, I think that's really kind of what's going on along now. It's like people don't want to feel like they're going against the crowd, so they just go along with this gender, this neo gender science, like horseshit.
It's not science, it's bullshit.
It really is. Yeah. It's like sociology applied to biology, and it's like horseshit. You know what I mean? Like,
I did a whole thing on it in that space. There was a video of a woman that was an administrator at Vanderbilt Hospital, talking literally referred to these kids as dollar signs. Literally, like they talked about how they make over $1 million throughout the course of a child's life if they transition in their teens. So there's obviously a very clear financial incentive for them to go along with
kind
this
of
science.
Yeah, that's kind of a conflict of interest, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, and the thing is, they've never actually done. There's no. This has never been a thing up until the last couple of years. So there's no long-term studies on the side effects of this. And, you know, most statistics show that most trans people are the most suicidal after they transition. Mm-hmm. So we have no idea what we're doing to kids. I'm sorry.
You know what?
I refuse to believe that putting a kid on puberty blockers in the time where your emotions and your hormones are the most out of whack throughout your life and then just taking them off of it
has absolutely no effect. I refuse to believe that. Anyone who's telling you that is a liar, is disingenuous, and anyone who believes that's a fucking moron. You're a fucking moron if you think putting a kid on puberty blockers has no effect on them. Hey, you can just the take them off, man, with nothing wrong. Now, there are kids that can go on. There are reasons for a puberty blocker.
Well, yeah. Do you know why the doctors actually put like kids on puberty blockers?
Yeah, because kids get puberty too soon.
Yeah, sometimes like a girl will like go through they'll have like their first period at like 8. And it's like that they don't want that to happen.
No, because like, they put on
puberty blockers just for like 3-4 years. Yeah, like stunts growth. It causes like hormonal issues and everything. So yeah, they put them on puberty blockers for like 3 years so they could go into puberty at like a normal time, like or like a more like healthier time. That's really kind of mainly what they use those for. Like the main thing is that it's temporary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just ignore that. That's my camera being retarded again.
The main thing is that it's temporary, though.
Yeah, it's temporary. And that's the thing is when you put a 16-year-old kid who's obviously already got some mental issues, if they think that they're a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa, you put a 16-year-old kid on that, of course it's going to fuck them up. They've already got mental issues. I mean, your hormones are the most out of whack and just totally completely crazy at that age. Of course there's going to be side effects. It's disingenuous. They've been incentivized to lie to the public about these issues, and people need to start standing up for it.
I think it's disingenuous too to try to underplay like the serious like problems that this kind of ideology opposes, right? Because it literally bleeds into everything. It bleeds into the business world and HR departments and hiring practices and writing company policies about using bathrooms and everything. It bleeds into science and like where they have to write these papers that fit along this ideology and everything.
Yeah,
it bleeds into like the arts, man. It bleeds into writing, where if you're not writing main characters as transgender, you're not being open and not being like, you know what I mean? Not being diverse, and you're, you know, like, oh, just another story about a white guy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not. So it's like, dude, this kind of stuff like bleeds into every kind of like field, really. It really does, man.
And that's the thing is, dude, 5 years ago, I knew people that were hard to the left, like Bernie Sanders supporting leftists.
Me too.
And their take was, you know, I'm fine with transgenders. I have no problem with that. But I think it's ridiculous to put kids on puberty blockers, which is the correct take. And for whatever reason, something changed, and they've all been just gaslit into believing that if you don't let your 8-year-old transition, that you're a bigot and a terrible parent and you should lose your kids. In Canada, you actually lose your kids.
If you don't let them transition. I think one of the big problems is that people celebrate when people transition. Like, you know what I mean? They put them on a pedestal when they transition. Yep. And yeah, obviously you can say like, oh, I'm okay with adults doing it. You know what I mean? But like when kids see adults doing it, they're like, dude. And then they're also being told like it'll solve all their why they like playing with Barbies, or you know what I mean, why they like to keep their hair short or something like that. And they're just being force fed this stuff, and then they see these adults doing it, and apparently on YouTube they're like, yeah, I transitioned, I'm super like I'm happy and everything. They're like, I do that too. And
swallow a bunch of pills.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. They go get their breasts removed.
Yeah, I mean, do you ever notice the only people with transgender kids are always like super left? And it's very common to see someone with 2 or 3 transgender kids. And it's just the odds of that are absurd. And
you know, I've seen,
you're definitely grooming your kids. You're absolutely pushing them there.
In almost, I think it's like pretty much most cases, like the majority of cases of like male to female transitioning is really linked really heavily to being sexually abused as a child.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, very heavily. Absolutely. And then when it comes to female to male, like because that's what actually is like the majority of people transitioning is female to male. Mm-hmm. That's actually like by far the biggest majority.
Really?
Especially
I thought
in children.
It was male to female.
No, it is female to male, and it's in children too. Like that's what's the biggest majority is female.
Well, there's
to male.
No such thing as a transgender kid. There's a kid with mental illness that's being exploited by activist teachers and parents. Yeah. But yeah,
I have personally met way more female to male transgender people than male to female. 100%. I can say that without a shadow of a doubt. I've met, and even kids. I've literally only met two transgender teenagers, and they were both female to male. And like another really big link between that is them being on the like autism spectrum. It's like a huge like the you know the coalition and some statistics terms, the coalition covariance of that, where it means like how closely they're correlated is like really really close. Like
I remember when I was on Bumble when I was single. You know what Bumble is, right?
Yeah, it's like a dating app where it's like girls where the, have to do it first or send messages first.
I had accidentally matched with someone that was a male to female transgender. And I so I opened my app and because I didn't have notifications on or anything like that. So I opened my app and it just I saw that I had like two or three messages from this person, right? And the first one was, hey. And I mean, I didn't have my app on, so I didn't see it. And then within like 30 minutes, it was like, are you ignoring me because I'm trans? It was just this like, it doesn't make you gay if you want to go out with me, blah, blah, blah. Like what? Like, first off, I was like, I didn't have that's the more app on.
That's so like, I think that kind of attitude is so harmful for like the perception of gay people. Right. Because one of the things that you talk to like a straight guy that they whether or not it's, you know, logically founded or not, that the only thing that it would bother a straight guy about a gay guy is if the gay guy was hitting on them and trying to convince them to like be gay with them, you know what I mean? Like trying to turn them or trying to convince them like, oh no, it's okay, you know what I mean? That's like, and I mean, if you talk to a lot of dudes, you've probably had an experience where a gay dude has tried to do that.
We've all heard mine. But yeah, that's my thing, man, is I'm like, well, like first but off,
that's what's worse about the transgender male to like females or male female males to females is that they are trying to they're literally trying to get into your head and convince you that you're something that you're not.
Trying to convince me. They're trying to convince themselves. That's what
I know. They're trying to convince you because they're trying to get some dick, dude. But
They're doing it in the process. It's a two-way street. I mean, it's like, dude,
it's really manipulative.
It's really
manipulative.
Yes, it would make me gay, at least bisexual. If I wanted to have sex with someone who had a penis, that would make me gay.
This penis doesn't make you gay.
Penis
doesn't make you gay.
Like it actually does. Like that's the thing. It's like,
That's super manipulative, man. Like it really is. When you're trying to gaslight people into thinking that like that you not wanting to go out with somebody that's a male or a male to female transgender, like into thinking that it's not gay and that you thinking it's gay is like hateful.
Right.
That's gaslighting, man. It's absolutely super manipulative and it's happening like a lot.
The mentally ill are more prone to doing that. And I know I catch a lot of shit when I say that, but I stand by what I said, man. They're like, if you're in complete denial about a scientific fact, which is that you were born as born with a penis and that makes you a man, there's some mental illness going on there. Now, I don't think we should be dickheads to those people. I don't think we should treat them like shit, but at the same time, we can still recognize, hey, there's a problem here.
Like I don't think we should be putting them on a pedestal, man. I really don't. I think that putting them on the pedestal makes it it signals to kids that doing it is cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's my thing. Sorry, go ahead. Here's my thing. And we can get out of here on this because I know you got to be up super early tomorrow. But my thing with that is, and this is a conversation a lot of people probably aren't ready for, right? So if I were to put on an Indian chief headdress and say, you have to call me Chief Caleb from now on, and I'm an Indian chief, at best, they would say I was mentally ill. At worst, they would say I was a racist. Because I was making a mockery of Native Americans, right? How come if I were to put on a dress and big old fake tits and lipstick and said, hey, you got to call me Kaylee now, I would be considered heroic.
Your tranny name is Kaylee.
I'd be considered brave.
Kaylee. Well, you know what? You'd be considered brave by like, you'd be considered brave by maybe like 10% of people. And then 40% of people would kind of be like uncomfortable and like, I guess he's all right. And then the other 50% would think you're dumb.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You know what? It's interesting that you bring that up too, Kaylee, because like I was watching a podcast about this where they were talking about like it literally like trans ethnicity.
It's blackface for women.
Well, no, trans ethnicity literally makes more sense than transgenderism, because it's like gender is biology. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's like, but ethnicity and, you know what I mean? That's literally a social construct, dude. Mm-hmm. Like if you're you could be literally whatever ethnicity you want. Like, you know, obviously there's some leans more the other, but like, say, like my daughter is half white, half Mexican, mm-hmm. but you know she's going to be saying that she's half Mexican. You know, she's
Going like
to
Obama. Obama was a black president. Yeah. He was half black. He didn't walk around talking about his white side.
Exactly. Like, and I mean, like, especially when it comes to people that are like mixed race and everything, like, dude, that is a huge gray. That's way more of a gray area than gender is.
Absolutely.
Gender is based off of chromosomes.
It's like,
you
my
know
kids
what I mean?
Are going to be mutts. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah. And like, but, you know, even according to the government with the census data, if your kids want to say that they're Mexican, they can. They'll go down in the census.
It would be most beneficial for them to say they're Native American, because, you know, benefits for that and stuff. But, you know,
if they wanted to claim that on the U.S. Census, dude, if I wanted to claim I was like Pacific Islander on the U.S. Census, they can't tell me no. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
I should do that just to fuck with them.
Well, you know, like in the military, you can do that too, right? And like for me, obviously, I'm very obviously white. DNA tests have confirmed I'm like 99% European, right? You know, what I mean, I'm very clearly a European person, and like Northern European. Like that, me is stupid, right? But like you and your and like Mia, when you guys have kids, you know what I mean? That's going to be a huge gray area, and it's like, who mm-hmm. is somebody to tell your kids that they aren't Native American? You know what I mean?
Well, they are. They will be Native American. It's
exactly.
Undeniable. I mean, her
who's to tell them they're not white? You know what I mean? That's exactly. That's a social construct. That's something that we see as a, like, you know, that we've built as people to classify people.
And that's going to get more and more gray as generations go on. But, you know, because people are mixing races more than ever before, and they do more mm-hmm. every single year. And
it's going to be really confusing. Like, that girl, that one, what was her name? Lisa or whatever. Like that one girl that's like said she was a black woman. That is more.
Are you talking about Lil Vicky?
Yeah, that's her name. I can't remember her.
She's a
name.
Retard.
But yeah, that when you think about it, though, that makes more sense than somebody saying they're transgender. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
that
no,
makes more sense.
No, I totally get it. Yeah, it does, because it's like you said, it's more of
they
a,
could. She probably can go back into her genetic tree
and
find
like
3%
African. Yeah,
you know, like 0.3 probably or whatever. You know, maybe it is 3% if she's Italian. Like it could really be like 3%.
Yeah, because that's what people a lot of Italians. My family's from Sicily, and Sicily was a penal colony. So there's a chance if you're Sicilian, my family's actually Italian, right? But like they came from Italy. But there's a chance that if you're Sicilian and your family was in Sicily for a really long time, you have no Italian blood whatsoever. I mean, they had prisoners from Germany. They had prisoners from Africa. They had prisoners from Greece. They had prisoners from Spain, from all over the world there. So there's a solid chance that if your bloodline is traced back to Sicily, you have no Italian blood whatsoever. And that's fucking crazy.
Think about it with Spaniards, man. A lot of Spaniards have North African and from the Moors when they were, mm-hmm. you know, controlled Spain. It's like, who's to tell them that they're not African?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like if they have it in their genetic history and it's not even like an opinion. It's like they objectively have a African DNA. You know what I mean? Who are you to tell them that they aren't? Who's to say that guy is any more, any less African, you know, than Steph Curry is? You know what I mean? I always make that joke about Steph Curry because Steph Curry, you know, clearly is like, you know, is what is Del Curry's like.
Del Curry's half black.
Is he half black? I know they're his mom is half black too, right?
No, I think his mom's white.
I thought they were both mixed. Maybe. But like his parents were both mixed.
They're both
like,
very light. Yeah.
Like, yeah, nobody's going to sit there and Steph Curry could come up to me and tell me he was like a white dude. You know, obviously if he wasn't Steph Curry, but like a guy looking like Steph Curry could come up and be like, I'm European. And I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
And I would believe him more if he told me he was European than if he was African descent. But who am I to tell Steph Curry that he's not black? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'd believe him more than if he'd said Sandy Hook was real.
But yeah, who are we to tell people that? But
Sandy Hook was real?
Yeah, right. Dude, he got charged like $1 billion.
He's going to appeal it. It's going to get tossed out.
I made the joke about that the U.S. has moved to a paid subscription-based model for free speech.
They like have, all the other man.
Private corporations.
Well, and that's my thing, is my issue is with him isn't the slander case, because they made it very clear that the charges had nothing to do with slander, the fines had nothing to do with slander. They wanted to make it so that he could never have a platform again and he couldn't rebuild. And I'm sorry, that's not the government's job to decide who can and can't have a talk show. Like, you're actually, you when you have a court issuing fines based not on the actual crime that was committed, but on, hey, we want to make it so this guy can never build his media empire back again. That's an absolute violation of free speech. Mm-hmm. It's just, it was a political hit job. They're trying to send a message to anyone else like him that, hey, don't try this or we're going to shut you down. Because it's like the gun companies. Like, they won't ban guns. They'll just sue them into oblivion.
I see all the people celebrating that are like people from Australia and England and stuff. Fucking that, like, retards, clearly, yeah. Like, they don't have a very cultural significance of appreciating for.
Oh, there's people here celebrating it. There's comics I know celebrating it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Dude, they're coming for you. Well, they won't come for you next, because you just make corporate approved jokes. And this is the argument that I make, is that they're setting a precedent here. And when you set a precedent, you have to ask, how is it going to be used against me in the future? And what's going to happen is free speech is under attack mainly from the left right now, right?
I'd say almost exclusively.
Almost exclusively. Here's the thing, though. We've both in our lifetimes seen where the right was the ones attacking free speech.
When it came to like talking smack about like the church and everything. Yeah,
church and on Marilyn Manson and all that stuff. So we know the pendulum shifts, and we know when it shifts, it always shifts a little too hard. Right. So
I think I really do think we're starting to see it shift a little bit.
Oh, we absolutely are.
I think we are. More people are starting to wake up to it and realize like what's going on and everything.
Yeah.
So
when we overcorrect again, and we will, because power always changes hands when people get sick of your shit, when this country overcorrects again, don't think for a second that conservatives aren't going to use the same precedent you set on Alex Jones to come after left-leaning talk show hosts. They're going to come after him hard, man. And they're going to, and it's not going to be anything to do with free speech or who said what.
It could be revenge. It could be like 100%. In the instance of Jon Stewart talking about the Iraq war. Damn well know where conservative politicians were like, would have wanted so much to get that dude off air. But like, all he would have to do is say something that might, you know what I mean, could have been leaked to him.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, not 100% proven true. And then boom, sued, defamation, $1 billion. There you go.
What about all the people that said the vaccine stopped the transmission of COVID? That's turned out to be bullshit. Sue everyone. Maybe $1 billion each.
Maybe all the conservative politicians that were very actively like hating on that stuff will just use that same precedence against those people, right?
Why not? They set the precedent, and it's going to be a revenge.
Kind of like what Trump signed in all the executive orders after Obama did it, right?
After they expanded the power of the presidency.
And then ever like the left would be like, oh, he's a dictator for doing this. It's like, well, Obama was doing the same shit, and he's the one that presidency was the one that started that. So
yeah. Absolutely. But
yeah,
it's a crock of shit. Free Alex Jones.
He's not going to jail, but he just got to get him in
financial jail. Donate to his GoFundMe.
Does he have a GoFundMe?
No, he'd probably get kicked off of there so fast.
Yeah, probably. He probably is already kicked off of it anyway.
GoFundMe is a crock of shit, man. But yeah, donate to Alex Jones, Infowars.com. Now you can check out my other show. That's based every Saturday on outlawstreamers.com. It's on Spotify.
Which I was just on, by the way, which was super fun.
It'll be out this Saturday. So check it out. It was out last Saturday. That's right. We talked about Russia and nuclear missiles and all that fun, cheery shit. So it's lots of fun. Make sure you guys leave a like and subscribe to this video, comment, share it around, turn your notifications on. If you're on audio, leave us a 5-star review. We always appreciate that. I got my show Night of the Laughing Dead, October 29th at Beach House Bar and Grill, costume contests, all kinds of fun shit going on. Do you got anything?
Nope, man. I'm going to be in Philly. Go Birds.
Mob City, baby. All right. Well, we appreciate it as always. This has been Bread and Circuses. Peace the fuck out.
Deuces, y'all.